Hello and welcome to the Reuters 2010 World Cup podcast on day 8. And we've just seen the plucky minnows give a good account of themselves and come away with a point. And Algeria didn't do too badly either. Anyway, first of all, we're going to talk about the opening game of the day, which was Germany-Serbia. Carlos Groman, you're an expert in all things German. What went wrong?
Well, I think it was a spectacular collapse of the Löw Armada. You know, we saw them in the first match just demolish Australia, but it seemed that everything today that could have gone wrong went wrong. There was no pace, there was no tempo. Then you had Miroslav Klose sent off with a second yellow card. Lukas Podolski missed a penalty, actually it was saved. And whatever could have gone wrong went wrong. Serbia scored, and they had several more chances to score another one.
So looking quite sticky for Germany. Of course, they can pull it all back in the last game against Ghana. Is that going to happen, Mark Gleeson?
Well, I think it depends on what Ghana do tomorrow. I think they're going to have a tough game against the Australians. Perhaps some injury problems might retard their chances there. We could have a situation where we're sitting on 3 points apiece for each of the four teams going to the final round of games.
Okay, that's also the case in Group C, where we were expecting the US and England to run away with that and decide the top two places between them. Hasn't quite worked out that way. Looked for a while like Slovenia were going to become the first team to qualify for the second phase, but a sparkling US comeback, Simon Evans.
Yeah, I mean, very much a totally second-half performance from the Americans, who went back to what they do well, really, because the first half they were outplayed by the Slovenians, really, who played a lot of good football through midfield. The Americans tried to match up with that. They played Jose Telres in the centre of midfield. It didn't work. He didn't have a good game. They didn't keep the ball. And they just left a lot of gaps that Slovenia were able to exploit. 2-0 down at half-time, and then Bradley changed it around. Addressed the problems, really, did it very well, and they went to a much more direct style of play. And, you know, people don't like Rouen football, but it worked for them, and they got two goals back.
It was the other Bradley who made the difference, wasn't it?
Yeah, Michael Bradley was superb. Again, I thought he had an excellent game against England. He was even in the first half when they were struggling, he kept it going. I thought for 90 minutes he was the man of the match, really. I know Landon Donovan got the official award, but I think Bradley was the man of the match. And but he was extremely angry at the end with the disallowed goal, which a lot of people have looked at the replays of. And, well, you know, you tell me, did anyone see a foul there? Because I didn't.
Brian Homewood has studied the videotape.
I had a good long hard look at it, and I actually saw five fouls, four of them by Slovenians on US players and one by a US player on the Slovenian. So the question is, what does the Malian referee do when there are five fouls in the penalty area? Does he ignore them all? Does he give the one to the...
Yep.
I think FIFA really have to decide what you do in these circumstances with all this mucking around in the penalty area. Do you let them get on with it? Or do you pick out a random foul? Or is there a solution to it?
Yes, well, one of the solutions has always been discussed, has always been video technology. Might be a few calls for the FIFA to rethink that after that...
Weren't we talking last night about what a brilliant tournament all the officials were having?
We did say that.
We were saying they were faultless and they must have secret cameras to be seeing what's going on. I mean, the red card of Klose as well in the German game, which completely changed that game around. I mean, it's two yellow cards, neither of them for anything particularly bad.
Well, I must say the second one was a foul coming from behind. You know,
it's a trip, though, isn't it?
It's a trip, but it's a yellow card. You know, if you go by the book, it's a yellow card, just like the U.S. The U.S. effort in the final minutes should have counted because, you know, going by the book, that was a good goal.
Okay, then on to the final match. From a tale of two Bradleys to hard times for England, we had a pretty shocking match, I would say, between England and Algeria. Certainly from the England point of view, Algeria actually played quite well, didn't they, Mark?
Yes, they did, surprisingly so.
Surprisingly so, one might add, after Mark Gleeson last night described them as the worst African team in a World Cup since Zaire in 1970.
And that's up against some pretty stiff competition.
Well, I would say they're better than Tunisia 4 years ago.
I can see a big, large helping of humble pie here, placed in front of me.
Would you like to take a scoop?
Well, I think the Algerians did very well. I think, you know, playing against England is a big motivation. I remember at the World Cup workshop in February, the Algerian coach was talking almost like a fan when he was talking about the possibility of playing England after the draw as well in Cape Town in December. He was waxing lyrical about having an opportunity to meet Capello and, you know, pit his wits against the much vaunted English players. And I think it was a huge match for them. It didn't need to motivate the players very well and very much, and they did incredibly well.
Yeah, I mean, it's strange looking at the reaction already you're hearing and just looking on the internet at what people's instant reactions are and so on. Everybody, you know, and the English do this. They talk about the lack of commitment, the effort, the desire, the passion, and all these words come out. And really, I mean, I just don't believe that England footballers go on the field and think, oh, we'll not bother tonight. I think there's deeper problems that they've got with the quality of the footballers available to them. And, you know, they've got to start looking at that. Fabio Capello, you know, you could say he's really never been in a position of having to coach a mediocre side before, because, I mean, everything he's won in football, he's won with very, very good sides. He inherited AC Milan from Arrigo Sacchi, who'd won basically everything with them. He did very well at Juventus, where Marcello Lippi had won basically everything beforehand with them. He did a good job at Roma, where they'd been struggling in mid-table and got a title for them. And then he won at Real Madrid. And now he comes to England, who haven't won anything since. When did they win the World Cup?
Absolutely no idea.
But they haven't won for a while, and it's just, you know, they had a very easy qualifying group. But then people in England convince themselves that they're going to win the World Cup, and there's just been no evidence so far that anywhere close to that.
OK, we will take a brief look ahead to tomorrow. We have the Netherlands against Japan, another look at the Netherlands. They received a bit of criticism, actually, for not turning on the style in their first match, but actually it was a pretty resolute performance, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, the Danes are not an easy team to break down, and I think that the other teams will find as well when they play them, but Holland never looked in any trouble, and, you know, 2-0 was probably a fair score. I think they're you know, they could be, besides Argentina, perhaps the only side with a full haul of points come the end of the first round.
Yeah, that's quite possible. Cameroon v Denmark. Cameroon extremely disappointing in that first match. Is there any way they can pull this around?
Well, they've got to change the tactics, and apparently there was a meeting yesterday between the leading players, Samuel Eto'o, Rigobert Song, etc., with a coach to try and persuade him that his selections for the first game were fairly eccentric, and indeed they were, changing the goalkeeper, leaving out Alexander Song, putting Eto'o wide out on the right-hand side, where he was completely ineffective.
And then finally, Australia v Ghana. We were all terribly impressed by Australia in the first game. Will we see them doing anything different this time?
They've got to be a better side than the one we saw against Germany. I mean, they do have players who play in decent leagues, and, you know, there's no reason why they couldn't get a result out of that game.
Well, it depends also how Ghana will go into that match. You know, they don't want to play their qualification into the next round against Germany in the last match. I think they'd be much happier wrapping it up tomorrow against Australia.
Well, Fabio Capello will go into the last day wondering if he'll ever have a worse birthday than today. But we've had a great day. Tremendous football once again. Thanks very much to Simon Evans, Brian Homewood, Mark Gleeson and Carlos Groman. We'll be back tomorrow and every day at this South Africa World Cup.